you're born in South Australia and were raised in South Australia?
Oh, yes. I was born in Beulah Park, a place up off McGill Road somewhere.
Yeah.
But I lived in Beulah Park, and I was there until the war. I joined the Royal Australian Navy.
Yes.
And when I came back, I did a BA degree at the University of Adelaide. When I got that, I got a job in Canberra, and I haven't been back to live there since. I called back to Adelaide quite a bit, and my old sister is living there in a people's home. But apart from that, this particular branch of the Sprott clan is scattered all over the place.
So you went to Canberra, and what work did you get in Canberra?
Oh, well, then? I joined a cadet at the National Library of Australia.
Yes.
And I became a professional librarian.
Right.
And so I stayed in the National Library for about 10 years, and they sent me to New York. Within that 10 years, I had 3 years in America, New York City.
Yes.
In the Australian Consulate General, reference library and doing business for the National Library of Australia. Then I came back, and after a while I was off a job as university librarian here in Hobart, University of Tasmania.
Yes.
And I came down and took that job.
How many years were you in that job?
Oh, about another 10, I think. Then I decided I had other things I wanted to do, so I didn't retire, I resigned, but I was getting up to age. I started, I did some books, you know, editing and writing books with my son Michael. We started two things, Astrolabe Bookshop in yes. Salamanca Pace, Hobart.
Yes.
Also Blubberhead Press, which was a small publisher. Blubberhead Press got around to doing the Tregurtha Log. That's one of its titles.
That's right. It's only one of a number of
publications. Yes, I was involved with 20 or 30 books. I've only actually written or edited 8 myself.
And so a lot of these publications are to do with local identities, but also there's a connection with the sea, it seems to be.
Yes,
from your Navy background?
I've always seemed to have this fascination with the sea, and I was on the same HMAS Corvette called Glenelg, and I was on that for, all my time during the war, which was 1942 to 1945, and I was discharged in 1946.
You saw action during the war?
Oh, yes. We were sent up to the New Guinea area. We were working with the American Southwest Pacific area, so I saw a lot of New Guinea and some of the island groups and so on.
So at what point did you marry, Dan?
Marry? that was 1950. We got married in Adelaide. I met my wife about 1949, which is after I'd done my war service. We got married in June 1950, so we've only been married now, what's that?
It'll be 64 years. How many children do you have? Is Mike?
Like three boys.
Three boys.
And Michael, the one that runs Astrolabe, is my middle son. Timothy, the eldest, is in England at the moment. He married an English girl, and they pop over there every now and again. And the youngest one is Daniel. He's named after me, I guess. He's in the land conservancy business, looking after Australian lands.
So it sounds like that your love of books, words and research, combined with your love of the ocean, took you down a path of a number of publications.
Yes.
To do with the sea.
Most recent book that I did is on Matthew Flinders. He's in the news because I think his 200th anniversary of death is about 1 or 2 days' time, the 19th of July in England.
And this has already been launched, this publication?
Oh, that, yes.
Yes.
It's not that new. That's another of my maritime books. As for Edward Primrose Tregurtha, I suppose my interest in things of this kind put me in touch with a chap who owned the manuscript.
Who was that?
Wetnor, isn't it?
And he still owns the manuscript?
Dr. Norman Wetnor of Toorak. I think he may well have passed on by now.
So do you think the manuscript is still with his family?
It should be.
I had an interesting day in Launceston because I wanted to do some work to chase up Edward Primrose's residence and travels in Launceston. Two librarians there spent probably over 2 hours with me, and we did quite a bit of research. I originally came to find his grave, his headstone, St John Church there, yeah. And that cemetery had been bulldozed, is now the Church of England Girls Grammar Oval.
Oh, right.
And what's left of it is just a little gatehouse. Also, a couple of monuments built of headstones that were left or taken there. It was 1903 they started to pull this thing apart, but yeah. It wasn't transferred to another grave site, and we checked out that he wasn't reburied or his headstone wasn't moved. So we haven't found his headstone yet.
No, I can't help you on that one.
But it's just of interest. But what I did find, he had a number of residents over a period of time in Launceston. In George Street, he had a residence and a business. As you're probably aware, I think it was a wooden coke business. And then he moved up to a residence in Welland Street and then Littondale up the top. And I located the last residence with the help of the librarians there. And the thing was that only in the last few weeks have they worked out the lots and who owned each lot.
Right.
So probably we identified exactly the house, the last house that he lived in. And that house is now called Lauderdale, but we discovered through the research that it was once called Whalebone Cottage.
Oh.
Which makes sense, doesn't it?
Well, it's sort of, it's relevant, yeah.
Yes, it's relevant. So I'll show you a photograph in a minute of that place that the residents weren't home,
yeah.
And they wouldn't know, I suspect, that he owned that place and lived there with his wife up until he's had a heart attack and died in 1880. So I'll give you that information if you're interested in the photographs, just for your interest.
Yeah.
The other residents in the other two streets, Welland and George Street, I haven't yet identified, but I will on my next trip to find out exactly. I've seen the site in Welland Street, just need to go back and do a bit more work on that. I'm just keen to track down his travels in Launceston,
yeah.
Because we knew he was the harbour master at,
that's right.
at the first harbour master, I believe.
Yeah.
And a lot of the research that you had done and from his log outlines his seafaring and other activities, but the residents and family...
No, I hadn't really terribly much into that.
No, were more interested in other things, of course, of his adventures, which are a wonderful read. It's a riveting read.
Now, do you know this chap that has the watch at all?
No, I know the watch well. It's a beautiful... And that's...
That's a good photo, too.
Yeah, and the library has... That's online. You can get the photo, beautiful photograph online.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know the chap that's got the watch. Is he still... Do we know who he is?
See, all this happened so long ago, I'm not sure.
There's something we could be tracked down.
Yeah.
So he, whoever that is, he has the watch, no doubt.
Yeah. If he's still around. But he was in Cornwall.
Had you seen the watch yourself?
Yes, I think I did. I think I probably have held it.
Here there
it's,
is.
It's there in the illustration.
Yeah.
Commission Frank Clinton Tregurtha of Bathampton, England.
So we assume it would be in England then.
Mm.
And there's a teapot, a silver teapot, which belonged to his father,
which
has been handed down through the generations. And I believe there's a woman about my age who has that teapot. She was given it when she was a little child. So you went to England as part of the research for the diary?
Yeah, I've done another trips overseas and I sort of worked them into what my current project happened to be.
So for you in writing this log, it must have been a great deal of satisfaction.
Yes, well, I was looking at today and I was surprised at the amount of research I must have done.
Enormous.
I hope it's all accurate.
Well, a lot of it's original material from his diary.
Yes.
He was a wonderful writer.
Mm.
It's riveting reading, isn't it?
Oh, yes.
He was only educated formally till about the age of 10 or 12.
So many of them were.
And then he ended up on the ship with his father. So I imagine his father probably continued his education.
Yes, I see.
Particularly because it's such a good pen, his lovely turn of phrase.
Mm.
When did you first open the shop in Salamanca?
Ooh, It was in about 83 or something like that, I think, 1983.
It must be dear to you, this collection and of work here.
Yes.
And you, over many years, I guess, you've collected.
Yes, I've been a collector myself. I was initially interested in Australian land exploration.
Yes.
And you'll know that a couple of my books are on Luduc Leichhardt and people like that.
I've seen them.
And then I started collecting nautical material as well.
Thank you, Dan, so much.
Thanks a lot.